Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Retro Spectacles. I am your host Stu, and I'm sorry for a little bit of a delay in getting this episode out, but between lockdown and everything else going on in the world, I needed a little bit of a break. But I'm very excited to bring you this episode with a fantastic guest, a great comedian who's been on Live at the Apollo and Mock the Week, a hardcore Brentford fan, and probably an even more hardcore Turtles fan. So if that doesn't give it away, I don't know what will, but I'll just let you dive straight in and we'll get on to the episode. Welcome to episode 3 of Retro Spectacles, and a big welcome to my guest comedian, Nathan Caton.
Hey, how's it going, man? You all right?
Yeah, not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm surviving. That's the main thing. I'm bored at my mind, but I'm surviving.
Yeah, same here, to be fair. It's just very, very tiring. But you've joined me today. You're on the Retro Spectacles time machine, which is looking today like Red October from the film of the same name.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
May have something to do with the year we could end up in. But for those who haven't listened to the podcast, you're here to help me stock up my shop. So we're going to go back in time. I'm going to try and find some toys, video games, movie memorabilia, all that kind of thing to bring back from that year. Mm-hmm. And as a thank you to you for your help, you get to bring back one of each of a movie, a game, TV show, cartoon, and a toy.
Cool.
Sound good?
Yeah, that sounds good, man.
Sounds fair? Cool. All right then. Well, let's start the time machine and we'll see where we end up. Okay, so if we put the radio on, there's a chance we could hear Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor. Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. Tell you what, there's some bangers already. You Can't Touch This. MC Hammer.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
Ice Ice Baby. Mama Said Knock You Out. And possibly one of the most iconic songs for this year, The Power by Snap.
Oh, yeah. Oh, geez, I forgot about that song.
Yeah, I forgot about them, mainly because I always think of the god-awful lyric that they have in Rhythm is a Dancer, which is, I'm serious as cancer when I say rhythm is a dancer.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Wow. Well, that's changed my outlook on that.
No, I mean, that song was released in 92, the Rhythm is a Dancer. So 92 is a very different year to 2020.
Yeah.
We'll look at the headlines as well for this year. Apparently, the first McDonald's has opened up in Russia and mainland China. Right. Nelson Mandela was released from prison.
Yep.
The Nintendo World Championships were held in America. Liverpool won their 18th and to date last title.
I love that one.
Nickelodeon Studios opened. West Germany won the World Cup in Italy. And Margaret Thatcher resigned.
Okay.
So I think it's safe to say we all know what year we've ended up in. We are in 1990.
Indeed.
A simpler time. I mean, I would have only been about 5, I think, because you're a year older than me.
Yeah, I turned 6 in 1990, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because you're a November baby as well, aren't you?
Are you Scorpio?
Yeah, I'm out, 4th of November.
Oh, mate, I'm the 2nd.
Yeah, I didn't think we were too far off, but I was 85, so
a little
bit behind you.
Scorpio, man, it's all love, man, it's all Scorpio love.
All love, cool. So, we are going to go to the cinema in 1990.
Yep.
Obviously, you've had a look at the listings. Any films sort of grab your fancy?
There were a few. The ones that nearly made it, one of them, I wouldn't have been old enough to get into the cinema, so I would have had to watch the bootleg copy, or the pirate copy, if you know, you know. Ghost.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a very good film. I remember watching on VHS when it came, well, after it came out in cinema, my mom got it on VHS. I used to watch it like before school or sometime before I used to go to bed. But yeah, Patrick Swayze, Whoopi Goldberg, Demi Moore. Very funny movie. And I think Whoopi got a nomination for... Oh, I think she won Best Supporting Actress.
I think she did, that. Yeah.
Yeah, very funny film. The other film that almost made it, it's a classic. I think we all love it. Home Alone.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think if anyone else had come on this episode, I think Home Alone would probably be the main choice. But knowing you, I know what it's going to be. But yeah, Home Alone, it's a classic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even to this day, I mean, well, Home Alone 1 and 2, great. After that...
nothing else exists.
Yeah. Well, there's some rather poor imitations of Home Alone. But yeah, the original one, 1990 Home Alone, was... Yeah, that was brilliant, man.
It's so good. I have to watch it every year.
Yeah, just, Christmas time comes around.
It has to be done. Yeah.
Exactly. Home Alone's like... It's kind of a staple of, like, Christmas watching, isn't it? Like, you can't...
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
You can't have Christmas and not watch Home Alone at least one time during the...
And it's just so... When you're that age and you see it and you see all the traps that he's set up and you're like, see, if I was ever in that situation, I know what to do now.
Yeah, like, well, you'd try it, but would it come off?
Yeah, so. Gotcha. I'd try it and end up in A&E. I'd end up with a painting on my head or something like that. But.
Yeah, and chances are the people, the burglars who are in your house aren't going to be as dumb as the burglars in Home Alone. But yeah, Home Alone was I think that was probably a close second.
I'd go with that. I think
my number one choice, if you know me, you know it's just obvious, but my movie of choice for 1990 would be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, TURTLE Power, the original. It's a classic movie. I love the Ninja Turtles. And for me, I still watch that movie now and I get caught up in it, like copying some of the like fighting moves and stuff. Yeah, Ninja Turtles all the way.
So I've just got this image now of you dressed up as a Ninja Turtle doing all your moves while you're watching the film.
Oh, mate, I've got the costumes, mate. I've got like...
Wait, have you got one of each or have you got a particular turtle that you are?
I've got one of each. I've got like each, like a t-shirt with the turtles printed on it. So it looks it's like a t-shirt body costume kind of thing.
Yeah,
I've got one of each because for my 30th, my family threw me a surprise party, right? And it was a turtles theme. And they got me each of the turtles, like the outfits. So I've got each turtle outfit. My favorite one, probably Donatello, because that's the turtle I most like. A bit geeky, a bit nerdy, a bit of a clown. I've got all the turtles gear, mate. Trust me.
Amazing. Do you know what? Funnily enough, a mate of mine sent me a bunch of stuff that he picked up in charity shops recently. Well, I say recently, before lockdown.
Yeah.
One of them was a Michelangelo cake tin from 1990. Never been used. It's still got the inlay in there with like telling you how to decorate the cake and everything.
Quality. It's amazing. Are you going to use it or are you going to keep it for like a memento?
I kind of want to use it. It feels a shame. I'm one of these people, like especially like things like games and that they're made to be played and they're made to be used. I hate kind of certain things being there just on a shelf. It just seems a bit pointless.
Okay.
But I used to be like that. I used to have loads of stuff on shelves and then it was like, I've moved so much in my life that you kind of start getting a bit, I've got too many things now. I just need to start lightening the load. And actually selling stuff now for a living, it's quite nice. I get to get all this stuff that I missed out on as a kid, own it for maybe like a month and then sell it on and buy new stuff. So it's best of both worlds for me. But yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as well. It's such a good film.
Yeah. I mean, for like our age, our generation, like it was massive. I remember when it came out and the rush and like, I remember, I think McCain's Pizza were sponsoring them, you know, and I think Domino's as well. Oh, mate, it was the first superhero cartoon that I proper fell in love with because it was such a like euphoria around the turtles and it's kind of just stuck with me now to this day.
Yeah, I think that was the first one for me, really. I got a lot of hand-me-down toys from my cousins and things, so I had a lot of Thundercats and He-Man and that kind of thing, but... The first one that ever felt like my own was the Turtles.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, like, my nan and my mum made me a costume, and it was like a padded shell on the back and, like, the eye mask and everything else with it. And it was just, like, I kind of wish I still had it in a really geeky kind of way. Just, like, Just put that on, go to the shop in lockdown, no one would come near me. So, new method of social distancing. But yeah, that kind of thing. And obviously at the time, it was the most successful, the highest earning independent movie at that time.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievable, especially if you must have watched it on Netflix. Toys That Made Us.
Yes, yeah, I've seen
it. Where it's like, yeah, the guy who managed the rights turned around and they were like, Playmates were like, this is an awful film, what have you done? And then it raked in over 200 million or whatever it was.
Thank you, Jim Henson.
it's just one of those films for me as well. Like, I hadn't seen anything like that before in terms of like the costumes and the movement and everything else. And I remember going to like the air show in Southend and things, and they had people dressed up in those kind of costumes at the time. And it was just like, oh my God, it was just mind blowing.
I've only
seen this in the film and now they're walking around.
Yeah. I think before the Turtles, probably like Thundercats were like the big ones, but they were cartoons, but it was actual proper like 3D costumes, people in outfits and stuff. Just felt so, it was a proper game changer at the time, you know? I just fell in love with it. I was like, yeah, I love Turtles, man.
What do you think of the reboot films?
When I found out Michael Bay was the man behind producing and stuff, I was like, oh gosh, he's going to turn it. Because I know what he did with Transformers. The first one was great, and then after that it kind of went downhill because it was all high-octane explosions and stuff, which are over the top and unnecessary. Mm-hmm. I thought the reboots it was okay, but not as good as the originals.
Yeah, I think they've got their place. I think it just brought it to a new audience again, like every kind of reboot of the animated series does as well.
Yeah, but I didn't like how they changed parts of the storyline in the reboot. Like, for example, April had the turtles when she was younger as pets.
Yeah.
Which I was like, there was no need to change that. Like,
no.
She didn't know them. Like, go back to the original and keep it that way. Where, you know, Raphael saves her from the Foot Clan. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Or like, Master Splinter learned his, Master Splinter, he learned his, in a reboot, Master Splinter learned martial arts from reading books. It's like, no, he didn't. He learned it from watching his master when he was a pet rat in a cage back in Japan.
Yep.
It's like, why are you changing it? It's not broke. Don't fix it.
Yeah, exactly. And they're really little details that don't need changing in that respect. It's just like, it doesn't change the story arc in any way, really.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Just them kind of trying to do their thing with it.
Yeah. And cool. The turtles in the reboot looked a bit gremlin-y.
Yeah. And it's weird. I was reading something about that when they said, I'm trying to think, I think it was Leonardo, where they said the characters were based on existing movie characters and real people. And it was something like, he's got the eyes of Russell Crowe, the lips of Nelson Mandela and all this kind of stuff. And it was like, someone made that with that conscious decision in mind. It was like, what goes through your head when you're trying to build, what do we want Leonardo to look like? You know Russell Crowe's eyes?
Yeah. Exactly.
Nelson Mandela's lips, I'm listening. It's just this weird kind of, and then to come out and say it in public, it was like, that's a private conversation for you guys to have.
Give him Beyonce's booty.
Yeah, that'd be like Michelangelo or something. He'd end up having that. Cool. All right, well, I guess that was going to be your film anyway, but I'm glad we've got to talk about it a bit.
Nice.
Video games were made to be played. Don't play yours? We know some people who will. We are Get Well Gamers, a charity who take your unwanted video games and consoles to donate across the UK to children's hospitals, wards, hospices and anywhere else gaming can give kids a power up. Donating is super easy. Just visit getwellgamers.org.uk to find out how to donate and other ways that you can help out. You've played the hero, now be the hero.
Video games.
Okay, again, there's a few options, right? Which surprised me because there were games that came out, which I didn't realize they had come out in 1990. So, oh, okay, this made my choice a bit harder. Again, there were two candidates, three candidates, but two close ones. The two close ones were Street Fighter. Mm-hmm. There's an Street Fighter that came out, which I remember like going to one of the local news agents with my older cousins because they had the Street Fighter arcade, and we was like, just,
oh nice,
being there for ages. We put like 50p in or whatever, and just playing one another for time and time and time. Like, Ken against Ryu, or against Guile against E Honda, etc. The other game was a Nintendo World Cup.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Which I was like, obviously, yeah, because obviously it was World Cup that year. So obviously, it's a time when the graphics were very, very, very simple compared to like FIFA games now. It's just like a dot moving on a green patch, kicking little white dot. sorry. the game that I've gone for, though, to bring back is Mario World.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yep.
I had Mario on the Game Boy, the old Game Boy. And I got really good at it as well. And then, actually, just recently, I say recently, in the last, I don't know, 2 years, my girlfriend got me Mario World on the DS. So it's like a blast from the past.
So
Mario World is the game that I would bring back. That's the game that I remember dominating my childhood. That and Tetris.
Tetris, yeah. That's. I don't know why I lost so many hours to Tetris as a kid, but it was just so... Like, now I look back on it, I still enjoy it. Still enjoy playing it, but...
I still play it.
Like, yeah, I do. And it, but it's just one of those that I think back and go, when I was a kid, why was this so entertaining? Like, when there was stuff like Mario or even like... DuckTales on the Game Boy, things like that.
Yeah. It's, but I think Tetris came with the Game Boy in it, so
it did. Yeah,
straight away you played it in it.
I was lucky. We actually, so my first Game Boy, we actually found it in the street.
What?
When we were, we went to went to go and see my nan when she was living in Milton Keynes, I think it was, and we were driving around, like navigating all the roundabouts of Milton Keynes, and my dad just noticed something in the road and went, oh, hold on, I'm going to stop. Didn't pull over, just stopped dead in the middle of the road, jumped out, throws this thing in the back seat and goes, it's yours now. And it was just this original Game Boy with rechargeable batteries and a 12-game cartridge in the back of it.
Oh,
and it had like, it had Tetris, Super Mario World, Amazing Spider-Man, Dr. Mario, like basically a who's who of all the Game Boy games you would want to play as a beginner.
What? So Merry Christmas to you, mate.
Yeah, but do you know what? I still had that Game Boy. We found that probably, oh God, she's moved so many times, I can't remember when it was, but like early 90s, you know, it was definitely early 90s. And I had it up until about 2011 when my ex-girlfriend stole it from me. We'd split up and we were moving out and she took it out of the box. And I didn't know until I'd moved and I wasn't talking to her anymore. So I was like, oh. So yeah, it was one of those that I was just a bit like, oh,
can I say the bitch?
I'm surprised though as well, because there is a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game came out as well that year.
There was, but yeah, come. I mean, I love the Turtles. I love them enough to say when something is not that great. The arcade game wasn't brilliant.
The underwater level on the Turtles game.
Yeah, I mean,
just.
Yeah, it it bored me. And I got the equivalent on on my old PS3, and I was like, oh, there's a reason why I didn't play this game that much when I was younger.
Yep.
I was like, yeah, it's just the gameplay isn't great.
I actually fired up Tournament Fighters, the Turtles game, yesterday for the SNES.
Oh, wow, nice.
Because, just to beat them up. But it's just one of those. I'm no good at beat 'em ups, and it's like, do I sell it? Do I keep it? And it's like, part of me really wants to keep it, but then part of me is like, someone else is going to enjoy this far more. So
yeah,
I'll probably sell it. But the graphics on it are great. I'm just no good at it, so it doesn't kind of hold me as much as I wish it would.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, actually, the graphics are great, but to be honest, it doesn't matter if you're good or not because the gameplay is rubbish anyway. I mean, it's the same thing at every level. Like, okay. Beat him up, move next one, beat him up. So it's like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Super Mario World, you're bringing back.
Yeah, it's something that I played a lot when I was a kid, and that's pretty cool, pretty good.
It's one of those that I think, I was a Sega kid growing up, until we found the Game Boy. But I actually prefer playing Mario to Sonic now. It just feels a better game. Like, you've got more control of it and
more to do.
Yeah, Sonic, you can just literally run and jump all the way to the end and do it in like 30 seconds. Whereas Mario, you've got to have some element of skill about it. So
exactly. Yeah.
It is what it is. Cool. All right. Yeah, well, I'll give a couple of mentions just for people listening. Some of the other games that came out that year, Dr. Mario.
Okay.
Which essentially Mario Tetris, I guess, in a way. Monkey Island, which is, I love that game. I think it's fantastic. F-Zero. And what else? Oh, and the Game Gear. Sega Game Gear came out in Japan as well.
Oh, yeah. Game Gear. Gosh, I forgot about that.
I always wanted one. Got one and then realised that I didn't miss out. A Game Boy is champion out of those two for me.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
For one, it doesn't need six batteries and only have like a two-hour life when you use six batteries.
there's no competition. Game Boy, Game Boy, better play... more games, isn't it?
The library was huge.
Yeah.
And the accessories for the Game Boy were better anyway. Game Gear, you had a Master System adapter, so you could plug your Master System, like the big Master System cartridges, into the back of it.
Okay.
And it was like, yeah, because I'm going to carry those around with me on the bus. And,
Also,
now on the...
More about Joe.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be something you necessarily watched in the 90s. It can just be something that, you know, if you like it now and you want to bring it back. But
yeah, that's exactly what I've done, right?
Okay.
Okay. There was a few shows that I did watch, like Captain Planet. Mm-hmm. Right. I like that sort of the theme song. Captain Planet, he's the hero. Crystal Maze, the original with Richard O'Brien. Yeah. That came out in 1990. Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
Came out in 1990. You remember a kid's show, Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yes, I do. Of course I do.
Yeah, that was a good show. That came out in 1990. But the TV show that I've gone for is a show which I didn't watch in 1990, but I've watched it since I was a teenager, and I still watch it now. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's a classic, you know what I mean?
Massively.
Yeah, that came out in 1990. And it's kind of stood the age of time. It's still funny. It's still got so many like good aspects and points to the TV show. I could binge watch it all day and I wouldn't get bored.
I totally agree. I think there's definitely still a lot of sort of lessons that it teaches that are still relevant today.
Yeah.
And it's good fun as well. It's just, I remember watching that. It used to be on BBC Two, I think. They used to put it on at like 6:20 in the evening.
Mm.
And I just remember watching that all the time.
Yeah.
It was just this regular thing. You know, I don't think my parents necessarily enjoyed it, but it was just, yeah, it was just one of these things as well. I didn't watch it in 1990. I watched it on the repeats and everything else.
Exactly,
but
yeah.
It's Will Smith. I mean, he has done some bad things, like bad films, but...
Yeah, this was Will Smith before, like, Wild Wild West and stuff.
Oh, God, I forgot about that film.
Good.
No, I've remembered it now. Thanks for that. But, yeah, I think a lot of people would go for that.
I think, again, that's our generation, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think just... some of the things in it as well, just that I really enjoy watching, is the fashion and like the Walkman and stuff that they've got in it, and just like all the tech. And you look at it and just go, that's mad. Like, people now wouldn't bat an eyelid at that stuff, but back then it was just like the height of fashion and it was cool. And
yep, yeah, some of the hairstyles, like the Will Smith's, the old, the flat top, the fade on the sides. I was like, yeah, I remember having that haircut. And I was like, right, now I look bloody stupid, but yeah. Is it the fashion?
Bring it back, mate.
Right. Look at the things I walk on stage. Shit, haircut.
If that's the worst they shout at you, then.
Oh, no, there's worse, trust me.
Okay. I mean, yeah, 1990 was a weird one for TV. I mean, particularly BBC were quite prolific with stuff. I mean, like One Foot in the Grave came out that year.
Yep.
MasterChef debuted as well.
Oh, yeah.
which is obviously huge now. Keeping Up Appearances.
Very funny show.
I mean, dated now, I think, but
there
are some great bits in it. Oh, yeah, at the time, it was fantastic.
Mrs. Bucket, it's bouquet.
Yeah. Richard. There's one program that sticks out, and I need to warn people about it, because I forgot about it until I saw the name of it and then did a Google search for it and wished I hadn't.
Okay.
And it was called Pigsty. Okay. Now, it was a kid's show, but it involved like these anthropomorphic pig people that owned a pizza restaurant or something.
Okay.
And it's just so weird. And I Googled it, and it's just, you see this, basically it's a human with trotters and a pig face. And I was like, yeah, I remember this as a kid. I remember watching it. I don't remember why the hell I wasn't so scared of it. It's just so weird.
Is it funny or?
I think it was meant to be. I mean, I once I saw that picture, I couldn't bring myself to watch it on YouTube. I was like, I can't bring myself to watch it, because it just, there's this nagging feeling in the back of my head that it's going to trigger something off in me, and I don't want to cause that.
I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah, I think if you'd seen it and you see that picture, you'll suddenly go, oh shit, I remember this. This was awful. But I mean, some of the other stuff as well. You've Been Framed started in 1990.
Oh, okay.
Art Attack, a classic.
Oh, how did I miss that one? Yeah, I should have got that one.
Neil Buchanan at his best.
Hmm.
Obviously now rocking out in a metal band. But
is that what he is? What he's doing?
Yeah. He plays in a band called Marseille.
Okay, I didn't know that. Oh, well.
Yeah, there are some great video clips of him wearing like this, like a leather cut-off vest, just rocking out, playing guitar.
Oh, well, so been around kids for that long, that's what it does to you, mates. Get me the fuck out of here.
Yeah, he did Art Attack, did Finders Keepers, and then it's just like, no, enough now, I'm going to go and do metal songs about my experiences.
Oh, cool. About his experiences. I mixed the blue and the yellow, got green.
There's got to be a song where it has something like, and there you have, your very own, because that's what he always said.
Oh, yeah.
I think there was one awful one where he did like this trio of things, and I remember I'd gone to like a house party, and we'd fallen asleep, woken up in the morning with the TV on, and I think it was like 7:30 on a Saturday morning, and he said something where we were all half asleep, but we heard it and just instantly cracked up, because he just went, and there you have your very own threesome. We're just like, it's like, what? What did Neil just say? And it just, that's one of my memories of it. And it's like, I loved the show as a kid, but as soon as I heard that, I was like, it's never going to be the same again.
Yeah, definitely.
Cartoons?
Yeah.
You want SpongeBob?
Yeah.
Say SpongeBob.
Papa?
TV shows, now more specifically, cartoons. In Planet a minute ago.
Yeah, no, that's not making it. No. When I thought about it, and I did some research, there was only one winner. There was one clear, obvious winner for 1990. And that is Rugrats.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Chucky, Phil, Dill, Tommy. Yep. I watched that a lot when I was a kid. I remember it coming on Nickelodeon every day, before and after school. Got to the point where, like, it was me, my cousin, and even my grandma. Even she would be like getting into it, because we had a TV on to entertain us, whatever. And even then, she was like, "Yeah." She called Chucky was her best friend. She liked Chucky because he was the sweet innocent one, and she absolutely hated Angelica with a passion.
Understandable.
Rugrats. I think my little brother, he got into it as well, and then he got the movie when it came out. But Rugrats for me, I think.
Really, I'm going to have to disappoint you, though. Rugrats actually aired in 91.
What?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. August 91.
Oh, man, I've done Google, you liar.
First episode, 11th of August 91. Final episode, August 2004. I didn't realise it ran that long. Wow.
Yeah, it went. Well, they had little spin-offs where, like, Rugrats All Grown Up and that as well, but that flopped.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But in that case... I mean, it's going to have to be Captain Planet then. I would say Turtles, but Turtles came out before because the movie came out in
1990, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Well, in that case, probably Captain Planet then.
Okay.
Hmm.
I feel like I've disappointed you there.
Yeah, because I'm quite sure now if I'd have Captain Planet as my cartoon of choice.
Well, I mean, some of the other choices, you've got Tiny Toon Adventures, Tailspin.
I didn't really watch those.
No, Dreamstone I watched. That was a weird one.
I don't remember that.
Only that kind of show. It on the soundtrack, there's songs that have Bonnie Tyler, Billy Connolly, and Frank Bruno, I think, on it. And Ozzy Osbourne. And it's just this weird... I loved the show. It was great. But yeah, that soundtrack is just odd.
Okay. Bloody hell. I never came across that. Okay, let's go Captain Planet then. It was good, Captain Planet, but
was good. Yeah, I haven't watched it in a long time. Yeah, I remember that being on, and that held me. That was just like my mum could sit me down in front of that, and I was like, "This is awesome."
Yeah. Oh yeah, it was good. I remember like every Saturday morning, I think. ITV, like something stupid, like 7 in the morning, something like that. It'll be on, and I'll be awake watching it. So yeah, Captain Planet. I mean, it's no Rugrats, but it's still good.
What is?
Yeah, exactly.
No, if it had been in 1990, I would have absolutely been on board with that. With Rugrats, I'm a massive Nickelodeon fan. It's kind of what. I was to say that's what raised us. It was the moment we got Sky and they just put us in front of Nickelodeon. It was like great.
Yeah,
Rocko's Modern Life, Ren and Stimpy, Rugrats, exactly. Real Monsters, all those kind of things.
You had so many like great just classics that you like the whole. I remember like Half Tail, for example. I could sit all day and just watch Nickelodeon, and I'd be cool.
Yeah, I watched. That's what we used to do. To be fair, like. And stuff like Rude Dog and the Dweebs they used to show on there as well. Like they used to bring that on there. And Doug.
Yeah. And
all those kind of...
Doug.
Doug was great. Absolutely love Doug. Cool. Okay, so I've upset you by not letting you have Rugrats because technically it doesn't exist yet where we are. But you're going to bring Captain Planet back.
Yeah, I'll go Captain Planet.
Nice. Cool.
Please, Mommy, I want it.
Disagree.
Mm-hmm.
Toys. So I've given you a copy of the Argos catalogue.
Yep.
Well, the two Argos catalogues for that year. It didn't have to come out in that year, but if it's in the catalogue, it's fair game.
Okay.
So,
again, a lot of good considerations. I mean, I had flashbacks because there were toys that I saw there. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot I had that. There was this is like this little. Well, it's like a kid's kind of laptop computer. It's for learning, called Grandstand Talking Whiz Kid.
Oh, God, yeah.
Which I had, and I totally forgot until I was looking through the Argos catalog. I was like, oh, shit, I remember that. Like, yeah, he's like, yeah, these maybe, I don't know, 25 different learning cards. And put it in. And it would go, insert card. Like, put card in. And then, like, you do whatever activity it was. Like, if it was like a maths or multiplication when you do that, that was good because I used to use that a lot when I was a kid. There was, I couldn't not consider Ninja Turtles. There was the this like it was like a Game Boy esque, but just for turtles. The Hornby LCD game.
Yep.
Where. You know the one I'm talking about, like it was like a green kind of console.
Yep.
Almost
in the shape of their foot, if you look at it one way.
Yes, exactly.
That one where it's got like a little fin at the bottom kind of thing.
I was going to say, it was like an Xbox or PlayStation controller, except skinny and just dragged out. But you're always better. Yeah. that was good. I had that as well. Obviously, I had that.
Yep.
But that didn't make it. There was Hungry Hippos.
An ever-present.
Yeah, mate, exactly. I mean, come on. I've got a little nephew now who plays it, so it's like, yeah, it's one of those ones, which, you know, just goes from generation to generation. But I have gone for a toy that I forgot I had. Matchbox Motor City 500.
Right? Nice.
Basically, it was like... It's just like little roads, but you connect it all together, and then it forms like a almost like, you know, you get the car parks, the multi-story car parks that go round and round.
Yeah.
It's like that, where you put a car at the top. So if you got, because I used to have a lot of Matchbox cars, because I was fascinated with cars when I was a kid, and so like I would always get cars, little Matchbox cars for like, I don't know, Christmas or whatever. Got those cars. And then you put it at the top of this Matchbox motorcycle thing, and then you just let the car ride all the way down, and then it's got roads that come at the bottom, so you can connect it and then just drive it off. I forgot I had it. My uncle bought me when I was about 4 or 5, and then my dad bought me another one. I think the next series was just Motor City Electronic. Maybe a year or so later. But yeah, I totally forgot I had it. And I was like, oh yeah, I used to play this all the time.
when you said Micro Machines, I initially thought you were going to say it was one of the do you remember the camper one? Like, it used to fold out and it was like...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I can't remember what it was called. But yeah, the white and kind of black one that used to fold up, and then like you'd fold it out and it would house all the cars and all that sort
of
thing.
Yeah. No, I didn't have that. But I remember that one. Yeah, that's a blast from the past as well.
I always wanted it and never got it. And then I saw it in a charity shop about a year ago now, I think. And it was just like, no, the moment's gone. I don't want it anymore.
I should have got it just for laughs.
I should have. But I think when half the stickers were ripped off of it, and like half the cars were missing. And it was a bit like, no, if I'm going to get it, I'll wait till it's a full set or something.
Yeah, sure. Okay, I understand that. Cool.
But that, I'm surprised you managed to narrow it down so quickly, to be fair, because I looked through that catalogue as well, and just memories of Christmas lists, like, you know, where it's like, circle what you want, or write, make a list of what you want from the Argos catalogue, and we'll see what Father Christmas brings you. but there's like the Turtle Blimp was the one for me.
I had the Turtle Blimp. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Never had it.
You never had it?
No, I had the pizza. Do you remember the pizza thrower?
No.
Oh man, how do you know? Oh. You're in for a treat. So it was like this, I want to say like a tank, but it wasn't. It was just like this boxy vehicle on wheels. And it had like the sewer pipe, and you used to stack it with pizza discs, and it would just fling pizzas out.
Yeah, yeah. So, yes, I remember
like
that.
Really noisy fan in it. And that's what caused them to like fly out. I had that, and I just remember aiming that at people's shins, like Chris, just like flinging these pizzas at them. It's like instant regret from my parents for buying it for me. But no, I had a lot of the figures. I didn't have a lot of the vehicles. And that blimp was always the one that just, I always missed out on it.
I got the blimp, mate. I remember blowing it up myself. You have to obviously blow it up and then attach it to the main cabbage bit. That was fun. A lot of fun times with the Turtle Blimp. I think I got the Turtle Blimp before. I got this match with Motor City, so I would have had it maybe around the same time, actually. I can't remember. But, I had the blimp, which was a lot of fun. I had the action figures as well. Remember, I used to have a Raphael action figure that I used to go to bed with. Instead of a teddy bear, I used to have a Raphael action figure.
I mean, I wouldn't have expected any less from you, to be fair. I'm trying to think what else I had. It was one of the Foot Clan kind of vehicle. It's like a spider thing that came down.
Okay.
It was on like a retractable cord kind of thing, and it had like spider legs, but they had like boxing gloves on them, and it was meant to be like a trap to hold the turtles in. That was a weird one to have. But I had like some of the little vehicles, like the motorbike with the sidecar.
Oh yeah.
And the skateboard. That had like a pullback fan on it, things like that.
Cool.
There were just so many toys for that.
Yeah.
And I don't like the new ones. It sounds really old man and kind of like, oh, they were better in my day.
I agree with you, mate.
I think they were. I think they were so much better back then.
So this is, it's never going to be as good as the original, is it?
No
matter what you do.
No, very true. But yeah, just I look at some of them now, and like, even like some of the animated series, just the way they're drawn and things, it's just like, I'm kind of glad they're going to a new audience, but
yeah,
it's not my turtles anymore. I think that's my issue with it.
Well, yeah. Well, actually, One thing I would say about the new, well, the TV series, I think from maybe 4 or 5 years ago, it's got more humour to it.
Okay.
Yeah, because I've got the DVD box set. Of course nice. I have. And there is, I see what they're trying to do. They've made it funny. It's like, okay, cool. I see what you're trying to do. I rate them for that. But yeah, in terms of everything else, like old school beats new school.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. Right, what I normally do at the end of an episode is, well, I have done in previous ones, is I've given someone a scenario where they're sort of stuck in a film or something and they've got to use their choices to help get them out.
Okay.
But I've decided to do something different for you today because you are a big Turtles fan.
Yeah.
In order to bring these items back, I've got a 10-question turtle quiz for you.
Oh, bloody hell. Oh, no.
So it's going to determine whether you bring these items back or we've got to leave them in 1990.
Okay,
so question one. Mm-hmm. Issue one of the comic was released in what year?
1984.
What was the name of Eastman and Laird's publishing company?
Oh my gosh.
We can come back to it if you want.
Okay, I'll come back to it.
All right. True or false, Pizza Hut sponsored an international concert tour for the Turtles.
False.
True or false, the Turtles have faced Hitler in a comic.
False.
Who voiced Shredder in the original cartoon series?
James Avery.
Yeah, I had to tell you the answer for that one. I knew you'd get that. as we mentioned earlier, it was the highest earning independent movie for 9 years. Which film broke that record in 1999?
Repeat that question, please.
So the Turtles film was the highest earning independent movie for 9 years. Which film broke that record in 99? So another independent film.
99? What came out in 99? Can I come back to that as well?
Yeah. Who wrote the original cartoon theme tune?
I don't know that one.
Cool. Which Marvel character did the Turtles share their origin story with?
Oh, okay. So, Form from the Ooze. Hulk.
Where does Krang originally come from?
Dimension X.
And finish the lyrics of Go Ninja Go. Yo, it's the Green Machine, gonna rock the town without being seen.
Have you ever seen someone get down? Someone's going to the amusement town.
Boom. So, coming back to what was the name of Eastman and Laird's publishing company?
Mirage?
What was the other one you passed on? Oh, the independent film that broke their 9-year record. Think Shaky Camera.
Think what? Shaky Camera?
Yeah, Shaky Camera's scary film.
Blair Witch Project.
Right, that's all the ones you passed on, I think, wasn't it? Cool.
Oh, okay. What's the one about the song? You've got the theme song. I should know this.
Oh, yeah.
Can I get a clue?
Let me think how I'm going to... Yeah, he's responsible for 2.5 Men and the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, for crying out loud. What, who wrote it? Who sang it?
Who wrote it?
Who does Big Bang Theory? The creator of it, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, so he wasn't... now he's known for his writing, but yeah, then he wrote the theme tune.
Okay, I'm trying to think of the credits of Big Bang. Chuck Lorre!
Cool, so question one was, you were right, 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Question two was Mirage.
Cool.
It was true. Pizza Hut did sponsor an international Turtles concert tour. Yeah, they invested something like $20 million in it.
I thought it would have been Domino's.
No, Pizza Hut back then. True or false, the Turtles have faced Hitler in a comic. Is true.
What?
It has Raphael punching Hitler in the face. It's I can't remember which publisher it was, but yeah, it's one of those ones that's kind of been picked up over the years, and they travel back in a time machine that's powered by Hitler's brain.
Okay.
And it's trying to reunite with his body, so they end up punching Hitler. James Avery did voice Shredder.
Yeah.
For something like 4 seasons, I think, something like that. Mm. It was Blair Witch.
Cool.
So it ended the 9-year reign. Chuck Lorre.
Oh.
And you said Hulk for Marvel character. It was Daredevil. The story about Daredevil, where he gets hit by a truck and the nuclear and stuff hits him in the eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's an episode, an issue of one of the comics where that same nuclear waste that hits him in the eyes bounces off into a pet shop window and gets the turtles.
Oh, snap.
And so obviously you've got Daredevil fighting the Hand, and you've got the turtles fighting the Foot Clan.
Yeah.
You've got Styx, who's Daredevil's mentor, and you've got Splinter. So yeah, it's all kind of derived from there. So yeah, Dimension X was right as well. And of course you got the lyrics to Go Ninja Go right. So that was only 3 questions you got wrong. So yeah, I'm that's a good result. I'll let you bring back your stuff from 1990. So you can watch your copy of Turtles on VHS whilst playing
Mario World.
Mario World, that was the one. God, I even wrote it down and it's just out of my eyesight now. Cool. Well, thank you very much for coming back to 1990 with me.
Oh, no, thanks for having me.
It's been great. What are you up to? Obviously, I know with lockdown, you can't gig or anything at the moment, but
on the horizon? I've done a few online gigs, which I do every now and again. I'm on all the socials. Nathan.Caton on Instagram, Nathan Caton on Twitter and on Facebook. I do a podcast called Give Me Some Good News, where we try and look at positive things in the world as opposed to the doom and gloom. And yeah, just mainly my socials. You find me on there, you see what I'll be doing.
And you've got a football quiz you've been doing as well.
Yeah, so I should point out, yeah. I do a football quiz every Sunday on my Insta Live. So if you're a football fan, come and test your memory. And then I'm going to start doing a football, like a post-match chat show on my Insta Live as well.
Nice.
During the week. So yeah, especially if you like football, follow me.
Premier League starting again tonight.
Exactly.
Which I'm dreading, but I'm an Arsenal fan, so.
Okay. I see your pain.
Yeah, Man City away. Although there's not going to be a crowd, so is there really a home advantage?
Yeah, that's true.
Hopefully not.
City on good side anyway.
Yeah, and we're not. Cool. Well, thank you very much. So look out for Nathan on his socials, and hopefully once lockdown is done, go catch one of his gigs, because he's very busy when it comes to gigging. You were saying you do 6 or 7 shows a week sometimes?
Yeah. Normally very busy.
Yep. Awesome. Okay, well, we'll jump back in the sub, and I will bring you back to 2020, unless you want to stay in 1990, because it feels like it's a lot safer.
Like, mate.
I'll just stay here, mate. Eating your McCain's pizza, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pizzas.
Exactly. Yeah, Corona-free 1990, yeah, man, I'll stay here.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the same, to be honest. It's an easier time. Cool, there we go. And there we have it, another episode complete. Big thank you to Nathan for joining me. I think it was a fantastic year to choose, and even better with his choices, especially the amount of turtle stuff we got to talk about. Please do check out Nathan's stuff that he mentioned in the podcast. He's a hugely positive guy, very funny, definitely what 2020 needs and life in general. So please do check him out. And don't forget to share this podcast with your friends, subscribe, all the usual sort of stuff. I'll be back as soon as I can with another guest. And in the meantime, just remember, there are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's Retroelectables.